Welcome to Everything Intuition, the podcast where we demystify the mystical. I'm Thea Sullivan.
And I'm Holly Frankie, and we're just a couple of moms and intuitives who are passionate about the power of inner knowing.
So whether you're a skeptic or believer, join us for real talk, mind-blowing stories, and all the ways tapping into intuition can transform our everyday lives. Hi, everyone. It's Thea, and I'm here today with Holly, as always. And in this episode, we're looking at how we find space in our busy lives for moments of connection, presence, stillness, listening, the spaciousness that makes tuning into intuition possible. In the episode, we're using the word meditation to describe these moments or the activities we use to bring us into the present. But just to be clear, although we each use meditation in our intuitive sessions with clients, neither of us has a regular sitting meditation practice ourselves. And that's kind of the point of the episode. We want to share how we manage to find those meditative moments and spaces in other ways, and to give you permission to find what works for you, whether it's sitting on a cushion or being alone in your car or just taking a few moments in your day in whatever way to get present and connect with yourself in a deeper way. Okay, here's the show.
Hi, this is Holly.
And Thea.
And today on episode 4, we are going to demystify meditation. I think that this is a topic that a lot of people would really benefit from hearing about, because we are going to talk about all the ways that you can meditate and really demystify kind of all of the myths, I would say, around meditation. What do you think, Thea?
Yeah. One thing that we both agree on is it's a tricky subject, because a lot of us, probably ourselves included at certain times, have had an idea in our heads of what meditation is supposed to look like, and how much a person who is quote unquote spiritual or on a spiritual path should meditate. What it should look like, what it should feel like. And we want to talk about that because we want to relieve some of the preconceptions, misconceptions, guilt, or shoulds that tend to exist around this topic.
So I kind of have a funny story about like how you think meditation should look. So I remember one Christmas, I insisted on getting this very fancy meditation pillow, and I got this like these crystals and these beautiful incense and sage, and I sat down to meditate. I was like, if I have all the things, right, it'll be easy and I'll be able to do it. And then I was like, this doesn't feel right. And I don't know. And I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And then that was like the last time I ever used that. I've never sat on that meditation pillow since. It's now a throw pillow that my kids love to play with. But it's perfect. I've never sat on it since.
How long ago was that?
Oh, it was a while ago. Maybe like 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to do it one time and I was like, that's it.
Not right for me.
No. Or I just thought I didn't know how to do it. It seemed to, for me, it always felt like it was like reserved for like those really like live, like girls in the yoga class with the matching Lululemon outfits, and they could lay in Shavasana forever. And I'm just like, I need to leave. Like I'm in the back of the class sneaking out. I don't even want to meditate at the end of a yoga class kind of a person. So if you are like me, you're in good company.
And we'll talk about like sort of the ways that we each do meditate or have found ways to be in a meditative state. But I'll share that I have in my home, I have a little altar and I have a little kneeling meditation bench, which instead of the cushion, which I can't sit in lotus position for any length of time. I just don't. And I'm not a yogi, just to be clear. I mean, I think yoga is fantastic, but my body has trouble moving and I'm not super flexible. So sitting in the lotus position has never been comfortable for me. I realize that, you know, whatever might be a good thing to work on, but I'm not going to worry about it too much. And when I do sit at that little altar, which honestly, listeners, is probably once every couple months, I kneel at my little bench. And you know, we can talk about sort of specifically what I do when I do that. But just full disclosure, it's a very rare occurrence. So my way of meditating or getting into a meditative state or centering is not sort of daily meditation. And if anyone who's in the classic way we think about meditation,
yeah.
And if anyone out there does meditate like 30 minutes every morning and evening, like more power to you. We're not saying that that's not a wonderful thing. And I certainly have clients who are longtime meditators. And, you know, I think it's done them a world of good in that particular way. But I guess what we want to say is you don't have to do that in order to, you know, get into a meditative state in ways that are beneficial to you or get clear, get centered and tune in.
Yeah, I think it's amazing if people can do it. This episode is for if you cannot do it. If you buy the meditation pillow and it turns into a throw pillow, like we're your people here.
Right. And if you feel guilty or, you know, if you have like pressure around the issue of meditation, we just want to relieve you of that feeling and give you some options, ideas, and new ways to think about the topic.
So I think that kind of takes us into our first like bullet point that I want to talk about with meditation is that it has to be completely individualized. And I think that a lot of people will take meditation classes or think of a certain way about it, and it has to be individualized to you. So you don't feel great when you're doing yoga, so that's not a great way for you to meditate. I don't have a kneeling bench and I have bad knees. I would never want to kneel on a kneeling bench. So that is not how I like to move when I meditate. So it's completely individualized and that's okay. It can look different for every single person. And honestly, it should, because we're all different and you all have different things that will light you up and will feel good in your body. And so it has to be completely individualized and personalized, I would say too.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. And I think we should back up for a second and say, talk about what do we mean when we say meditation?
Yeah, right? That's probably good.
Because I think that you and I might have a shared understanding of what we mean when we say meditation, but some people listening might feel like, well, if it's not sitting on a cushion, you know, and quieting the mind, or saying a mantra or counting your breath or whatever some more classic methods might be. And again, we're not knocking those at all. Like what constitutes meditation if it's not just or always that?
So for me, I would say that meditation is when I'm fully present in my body. And I can just be full. Yeah, I would say it's when I'm fully present in my body, and I get there in different ways. Sometimes it is deep breathing. Sometimes it's movement, but being fully present in my body in a way that I'm open to receiving guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Is what meditation. I think
implied in there. No, that's okay. Implied in there is that I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, that maybe you're not thinking like that. Your mind is not dominating.
I'm trying to just be in my body. So not in my head, but in my body. And, you know, you'll have thoughts come up, like the to-do list is like the first thing that pops into my mind. And I just try to me, it almost feels like the ticker tape, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be like to-do list. And I'll just say like, oh, I noticed that, but not right now. Mm-hmm. And just not being like, oh my God, like the first thing you thought of was a to-do list when you tried to meditate. It's like, oh, there it is. But right now I'm just going to breathe and focus on my body. So for me, quieting my mind is usually done via movement because then I'm fully in my body.
Right. And so what are some of the movements that you use?
I like walking. I like hiking. I'm not a runner, but I mean, that feels like maybe one day I'll be able to do that. And my favorite one is horseback riding. That's I'm fully in my body, fully out of my head, just trying to not fall off.
And do you find like when you horseback ride, for example, that, you know, you do, besides watching the ticker tape of thoughts go by, that you get sort of more centered, tuned in, or open to other kind of awarenesses, or like,
yeah,
how does
so
that, or is it just being present and being aware of being present?
So when I am moving, It's harder to do when I'm walking or hiking, but when I'm horseback riding, there are no thoughts because I'm just trying to do all the things. And it's like on the horse, I'm just trying to do the things to, like, you know, trot or canter or whatever we're working on that day. And I always do a prayer right before my horseback riding lessons. I said my meditation because it's my favorite way to meditate. I always do a prayer that let whatever I need to hear today, let it come out in my lesson. And my horseback riding instructor is probably my greatest spiritual teacher here. She'll, like, usually it's obviously, like, related to what I'm doing on the horse, but it usually really hits on a much deeper level and has more profound meaning that ripples out into other areas besides horseback riding.
Hmm. Can you think of an example of something like that?
Yeah. So I was horseback riding, and this was kind of when I first started doing readings professionally, and I still wasn't really comfortable doing it, and it was new. And I did my prayer and I went to horseback riding and I'm riding and I fully just, like, trying to stay on the horse and do everything. And she screams at me because, like, not like scream in a mean way, but just to carry her voice because it's a huge arena. She screams, "You need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable."
Wow. And
I was like, oh, okay. That was today's.
Right. That's message received.
Yeah. You have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been countless ones where she'll say, "You're just focusing on the things that you're going to do wrong. So you're going to do those things wrong." Like, you need to just envision yourself doing them right, not doing them wrong. And it's like, oh yeah. Why am I doing, you know? And it's like, in life, that's the same thing. Like, don't focus on all the things that you're going to do wrong. And so it usually, for me, it's so great because it's a nice way to clear my mind because I'm just totally in the present, in my body, in the moment. And then I've never not got some profound message for my life from the lesson.
Wow. What I love about this example is that you gave yourself permission to use that activity that you clearly enjoy anyway, to use it in another way at the same time. And, you know, like, you know, that's your meditative time. You know, that's when you're asking for guidance and you're getting guidance. And I just love that example because it gives our listeners, I think, an idea of, like, oh, okay, tune in for what that is for you. And I'm guessing, I don't know if this is true, but some common activities that tend to be meditative for people are being in the shower. Or a bath, or driving. I tend to find that driving, long drives alone, even sitting in my car sometimes when I'm waiting for something, can be a really great opportunity to get quiet and listen. And it's just because these are in between times that just show up. So whatever, you know, these kind of moments are for you. We can all follow your example of saying, oh, this is my meditative time. I love that.
Well, and then, like, so both of those examples, like when you're in the shower, right, you're just kind of on autopilot. Like, you're just, like, running through your routine. And the same thing when you're driving, like, I know, like, everyone's, like, paying attention when they drive, hopefully, but you're still kind of on autopilot, right? So you're not really thinking, like, in that, like, frontal lobe thinking as much. And so those activities, you're already kind of, like, the mind's already a little bit quieter because you're just going through motions. And I would say I have had so many. I drive my kids. We have a commute to school. So I'm on that drive and it's beautiful. It's up the coast, but it's like 25 minutes there, 25 minutes back. And I do that four legs, you know, like up, down every day. And so I get so much in the car. So much, like, to me, it's so meditative. And when I say I get so much guidance. I've had full blown, like, past life stuff come through, like, while I'm driving. It's wild. And
yeah,
it's because I'm open and receptive because I'm not running through the to-do list necessarily. I'm not thinking of, you know, what went wrong like this morning, or I'm trying not to. I'm just trying to be present and drive and just like take in the beauty of the drive.
And I would suggest, I know for myself, sometimes, you know, I'm listening to music, I'm listening to podcasts, I'm, you know, using that time sort of multitasking, but I have to remind myself sometimes, just turn off the music or turn off the podcast or take my hike without my AirPods, because those are those openings. And I wonder, I think we all sometimes can feel a little discomfort around that in our very sort of, you know, there's a lot of things that make us want the dopamine hit of, you know, distraction or scrolling social media or whatever those things are. And this is a bigger topic we can talk about another time. But I guess in order for those ordinary moments to provide opportunities to connect in that way, we have to choose not to be as distracted sometimes. And that's just one caveat I would put in there. And I myself, you know, sometimes I'll take hike with my dog, and sometimes I'll talk to a friend on the phone, and sometimes I'll listen to a podcast. But sometimes it's best for me to put all that aside and just be with myself. And that can be a meditative experience.
Well, yeah, I think that meditation is similar to intuition in that it needs space and quiet, you know, to come through and to feel good. And if you are one of these people who, as soon as you sit down, you kind of feel like a little anxious, like a little bit of like energy rising up, like that's okay. Just
that's very normal.
Yeah. Cause when it gets quiet, we live in a loud world. And when it gets quiet, it's like, you know, like, oh my God, kind of a feeling. And just to kind of sit with that for a little bit longer than you feel comfortable. And it'll eventually, I think, lessen over time and get easier. And I find that if you're doing an activity like walking, even like a quiet walk necessarily, right, without your earbuds. But if you're doing a quiet walk, that for me anyways, it's that feeling is less.
Yeah, I think the movement probably helps calm the nervous system in that way. But this is a good moment to chime in and say, in addition to resisting that open space sometimes because it brings up anxiety or we have, you know, a lot of busy thoughts. I told Holly before we started recording that one of the things for me that happens, I'm a really emotional person. I feel like sometimes like my emotions are turned up to 11 and it's too much, but I do actually use my emotional nature in my intuitive work. So, you know, it's there for a reason. It's part of my kind of overall sensitivity. But when I get quiet, inevitably, any kind of feelings that I have not been allowing myself to feel will come to the fore. And it's kind of uncomfortable. Like I might notice, oh, I'm angry about something that I haven't been paying attention to, or I'm sad about something, you know, and whether like I just lost my mom in June. And so there's grief, and the grief comes and goes, as anyone knows who's gone through, you know, a big loss. There's a way that I can resist getting quiet because I don't necessarily want to feel all the feelings that I'm carrying around. We can stay busy for that reason. Obviously, people can use, you know, substances to get away from feelings. And of course, it doesn't even have to be a current loss. It can be an old loss, right? It can be unhealed wounds that can come up. I think that's one of the reasons why people resist the empty space, the spaciousness of meditation or, you know, quieting down. And I would say, like, if you're really interested in connecting to intuition, at least for me, this is how it works. I have to be fairly vigilant about being aware of my emotions and moving them through my system. So feeling them, acknowledging them, releasing them, just as a practice in order to continue to have access to my inner knowing. Not to say that intuition can't come through emotion, because that's a whole other topic that we can kind of put a pin in. But yeah, I want to say, if you sit down or even, you know, get quiet and feel emotional, that's okay. And that's an invitation from yourself to acknowledge those feelings, to pay attention to them. And that's not doing anything wrong. That's not meditating wrong. That's not, you know, it's can be a little disconcerting or difficult, but I guess I just want to say, honor what's coming up for you.
I like that. Important. And I think you kind of busted a meditation myth in there, I would say, is that I think that I know I used to think that, like, oh, if you meditate, you're just going to feel super peaceful.
Yeah.
And you laugh because it's like not the case. Sometimes when you meditate, like the shit that you're supposed to deal with comes up. So
absolutely.
I think you just busted a meditation myth there.
Yeah. Well, good. Let's bust those myths, because I don't think they're ultimately compassionate to ourselves, right? They're, I'm trying to remember, I think this is the Buddhist teacher, Sherry Huber, who I followed for a while many years ago. She's totally worth looking up. She's an amazing teacher, a Zen Buddhist teacher. But she talked about these kind of thoughts, like these kind of judgments, like, oh, you know, I should feel so happy because I'm meditating. She called them another stick with which to beat ourselves. So let's not beat ourselves with that stick. And it kind of reminds me of a little thing I heard about therapy, which is, oh, I didn't promise you that you would feel better. I promised that you would feel more.
Oh, yeah. So that's a good one. However, meditation is similar.
Similar. However, I will also kind of make a counterpoint to that, just because I think that becoming aware of feelings also invites us to not only be the one having the feelings, but it also invites us to practice witnessing, you know, stepping into that observer position. And that is another thing that I think meditation really is. It, whatever form it takes, wherever you do it, it's that practicing becoming aware of being aware, like, where am I locating myself right now? Am I in my feelings? Okay, so I'm in my feelings. But there's a part of me that's also watching myself be in my feelings. Or I'm having thoughts, but there's also a part of me watching myself have thoughts, just like you saying the ticker tape going by.
Yeah.
Right. And that, you know, that's sort of classic Buddhist teaching. And also Eckhart Tolle talks about this in The Power of Now. He's unbelievable. I think he's, if you haven't read The Power of Now or The New Earth, thumbs up to those books personally. But it's that idea of, he calls it the watcher, you know, identifying ourselves with the watcher, which is really like saying, I'm more than just my human thoughts. I'm more than my human feelings. I'm this awareness, you know, which we could say is like higher self awareness and this divine neutrality. That's kind of, and this is what I think tapping into intuition over time gives us, is this sense of ourselves as more than just our thoughts, just our feelings, just our sensations.
And I think that self-reflection, that is meditation too.
Yeah.
Like, that's a form of meditation. And so I think if you leave this episode with nothing else, it's that there are so many ways to meditate, and you don't have to, there's no have to's or should's around meditation.
Right.
I mean, I'm a busy mom of two. I read about these people who are like, oh, you wake, you know, my morning routine, and I wake up and I gratitude journal for 20 minutes, and then I meditate for 45, and then I make my matcha. And it's like, that is not my real life. And I think it's not many people's real lives, unfortunately. I mean, that sounds lovely, but I know I personally, I mean, I have a kid that wakes up at 5:30 every day and is like, when are you making breakfast? Like, there's no time for a full meditation, let alone like gratitude journaling and all the things there, but there is usually time for a quick prayer. Mm-hmm. And so I will do a quick prayer when I hear his feet start coming down the hallway. I'll be like, okay. And I do a quick prayer on, you know, let me be the best me today and whatever I need help with in that moment. And then at the end of my prayers, I always try to leave a space to listen, which is what meditation really is. It's listening to yourself, to your guides, to the source, whatever you want to call it. But sometimes I get a long time to listen, and sometimes it's seconds.
Right. So
take what you can get when you can get it.
Absolutely. And I think we can have those moments of awareness, of prayer, of, you know, setting an intention anytime. You know, I was actually just walking around my house this morning, sort of, you know, whatever, did a load of laundry and walked the dog, and kind of, I found myself saying to myself, gratitude, gratitude, like look around, gratitude. And that's, you know, even that, it's this moment of meta awareness of kind of just not being lost in the everyday, right? Stepping back and inviting that, whether it's stillness or gratitude or listening. I think all of that can be part of, let's say, you know, having the intention of being present more and more.
Yeah. And I think that is like living a meditative life. You don't have to meditate like how people would do at a meditation retreat. And I always tell people, I don't really want to go to a meditation retreat. I want to bring the meditation retreat vibes to my busy morning. Like, mm-hmm. I want to bring the meditation retreat vibes to my daily life, because that's like, that's where I live. That's where I am.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that's great. I think that's wonderful. And it gives people permission. And hey, if you feel drawn intuitively to pursue a more traditional meditative path, great. But if you don't, or if you don't have time for it, if it just doesn't resonate for you, that's, you know, that's absolutely fine. And I wanted to share an experience that I have when I sit down, you know, to meditate. This is when I actually sit down to meditate, which, as I have said, is not very common. But I want to mention this in case people have this experience. When I sort of sit down and get quiet, in addition to sometimes having feelings come up, another thing that happens for me is I become aware of energy. And I don't know, Holly, if you've had this experience, but like, for example, I might start to feel like I've had the experience of sitting down and my head starting to rotate a little bit. Have you had that feeling?
Yeah, I get like sometimes I get dizzy.
Yeah. Almost. It feels to me like, you know, we do have energy centers that run up and down our spine and then, you know, out the top of our heads. And there are higher energy centers above our heads. This is a whole other topic. But I think it's almost like tuning in, and whether you tune in, you know, walking or sitting or whatever, you may become aware, and this is clairsentience again, like we talked about last episode. Some people may become aware of certain energetic sensations. And I just want to say, like, that's another bit of information, another thing that's not always talked about when we talk about meditation. So, it's a little out of left field, but I just wanted to bring it in because it's not always just about our minds. It can also be we become aware of the energy in our body in different ways. And that's the beginning of cultivating that sense of being an energetic being, or working with energy, or practicing clairsentience.
Yeah. I when I meditate, my fingers always kind of go numb.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. They always kind of go like a little bit numb. And then, I usually know like I'm like in it almost, or like flowing in my meditation, because I feel like it feels like someone's like touching my hair. It's like, that's like a sign from my guide. It's like, oh, like, you know, like we're here, and like,
oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. It's like a touch on my hair. So like if you do, and like it happens in readings too. So like if you do a reading with me on Zoom, like I'm always touching my hair. So I'm like, okay, I got it. I mean, I know you're here.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Thing.
But yeah. So definitely it helps you tune into your body. And I just think that there's so many ways to meditate, and it's so important that everyone find their thing. And yeah. I think the moment it feels like a should, you're not going to do it.
I agree. And I would say be open, like with everything. I teach this when I teach intuition courses, is like play, experiment, see what, you know, like, just try something. And one thing I didn't know, Holly, that you did this, but we talked about this before we started recording also, that something I've always felt intuitively drawn to doing, I don't do it very often, but when I'm in the car, and let's say I'm stuck in traffic, I sometimes feel the impulse, or the, you know, I feel drawn to sort of send blessings to all the people in the other cars. like, just kind of indiscriminately sort of, I described it as kind of that namaste vibe, which is like, I bless you as a fellow soul. I bless you as a fellow soul. And it's kind of fun and it lifts my spirits, you know, it lifts my vibration, you could say.
Yeah, especially if you're in traffic.
Oh, yeah. It's like, well, you have a choice in that moment. I could get frustrated and impatient, and sometimes maybe I do, but other times it's just something comes over me and I feel guided to just, yeah, see it in a whole different way. Like, just here we are on Earth, all these souls just doing our thing. We're all, many of us, lost in our own everyday, you know, experience, which is natural, but it's kind of that lifting up above the everyday. And that feels very meditative to me.
That's meditation.
Yeah.
That's totally a meditation.
Yeah.
Because you're becoming present, you're opening up energetically, and you're doing it in such a beautiful way because you're sending out positive energy and love to other people.
Right. And I don't do that, by the way, because I think I should.
No, it just pops up.
It just pops up and it feels good. And it just feels like a little gift. Like even the impulse to do it feels like a little gift. It's like, oh yeah. Okay. This is nice. I was saying that I do that too, whenever, I'm sure many people do this, but when I see an accident, you know, I just send love to all the people involved, the people in the accident, the tow truck driver, the ambulance people, whatever. That just feels like a nice gesture that lifts my vibration.
Well, yeah. And then it's like a gift to not just them, but to you too.
Yeah.
And that's a meditative, like meditation, I think, if you think of it as giving yourself like a gift of a moment or some space, then you're going to be way more inclined to do it because it's not going to feel like something else that's sitting on that to-do list.
Right.
And just kind of, I like to weave it into what I'm already doing. Mm-hmm. I love to cook. So I try to make cooking as meditative as it can be. And sometimes it's super meditative. And other times there's a kid complaining about what I'm making or that I'm not making it fast enough. And so like those days, it's not nearly as meditative, and that's okay too. And it's just about, I think, bringing as much peace and like space and energy to our daily lives via meditation.
Yeah. I'm all for that. And in a future episode, I'd love to talk about energy clearing and how that fits in with meditation.
Ooh, maybe that's next.
Yeah, that would be good. Well, I hope that everybody has sort of feels freed up to meditate in whatever way, in whatever amounts feel right to you. And who knows, like by demystifying it and by releasing people from the kind of shoulds of, oh, I have to be like a perfect meditator sitting on my cushion every day. You know, who knows? Maybe you'll want to go sit on your cushion a little bit because you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. When it doesn't feel like a chore, you're probably going to do it. So give that gift to yourself of making it whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want.
Yeah.
There's no wrong way to meditate, really.
No, there's not. And I wanted to say, by the way, we would love to hear your questions if you're listening. We'd love to hear what you would like us to talk about and to touch on, or if you have intuition stories, or if you have, you know, feedback about what we've talked about, your thoughts, your reactions, you can contact either of us from on our Instagram, and I'm at Thea Sullivan Intuition on Instagram. And Holly, you want to give yours?
Yeah, I'm at Holly Frankie Intuition.
Right. So we'd love to hear from you. And in fact, I did get a listener question, which hopefully we will address. Yeah. It's about the interplay between intuition and religion. So that'll be a juicy topic to talk about in the future.
All right. Can't wait. Well, in the meantime, meditate and however feels good to you.
That's right. With no guilt and no shoulds and just a sense of play and experimentation, and let us know how it goes.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Holly. Bye.
Thanks for joining us at the Everything Intuition podcast. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and follow the show so you don't miss an episode.
To learn more about our work as intuitives, Look for Thea on her website, theasullivan.com, and Holly at hollyfrankie.com, and on Instagram at hollyfrankieintuition. We'll be back soon with more deep dives, great stories, and practical tools for tapping in. And in the meantime, remember, always listen to yourself first.